I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I'm joined by the gorgeous Gemma Atkinson. How are you, Petal?
I'm very well. I've had my brew, so I'm all good. I've had a brew, you've had a wee. We're good to go.
Oh, yeah. I do love a good wee. My favourite things to do that are free are wees, yawns and sneezes.
Yes. Yeah, sneezes are underrated, actually, aren't they?
I read somewhere that they're 1/8 of an orgasm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It kind of makes sense when you see it, you know?
Yeah.
There's something there. There's definitely something in a sneeze, mate. We've focused loads on your amazing acting career, but we can't ignore the fact that you've like been very busy in the reality world as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It feels like you've had about 8 lives, mate. How do you have the time for everything?
It's crazy, isn't it? Because my mum's, bless her, has got a scrapbook of everything I've done. Like she's got about four scrapbooks in the loft.
I'm surprised it's only four, fucking hell.
But every now and again, I'll go in. Like when we moved out, I had to go in the loft to get some bits. And I seen it and I thought, oh, and it's things that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know, that I would have forgotten about forever if my mum hadn't collected it for me, bless her. So it's dead nice that she's got it.
Oh, no, I feel like stuff like that's lush. It's proper underrated. My mates did us one for me 30th a couple of years ago, and like they'd obviously had to like troll through Facebook pics, and there's even some of those old, like, you know, the disposable camera pictures stuff. Even some of them in, and like, God, the haircuts, the makeup decisions. Like there was a point, lass, where I was probably about like 19 to 21, so like my uni years basically, where like I just loved, and it's come back, I think, the look, but like underwear is outerwear.
Yes.
And I was doing a lot of that, and I was doing a lot of Dolly Mix from MAC on no bronzer, just bright
Dolly
pink
Mix,
and no eyebrows. No, I did not draw them.
It was Pamela Anderson eyebrows, wasn't it? Thin eyebrows.
Wasn't even thin, lass. Like, I had my own eyebrows. I just would put my foundation on and then not bother with them after. Yeah, oh yeah. I looked like a boiled egg.
We went through a phase of, we did the denim skirts, but the hem of the skirt was like a built-in belt.
Ooh.
And your wedge, like your cork wedges sandals.
Got on.
We used to wear them all the time.
Everybody loved a wedge. And do you remember the big belts, the big circle, big discs?
Three circles loop.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, honestly, mate, those were the days. Those were the days. So what was, out of all of them, because I've got you did, I'm a Celeb, Soap Star, Superstar, Strictly, of course. What was your fave?
Probably Strictly, because I met Gorka on there. I loved I'm a Celeb, the fact that you could just spend, you know, 3 weeks without having to do your showering and your makeup and hair and stuff. And I love the whole experience of being out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
But with Strictly, you kind of learn a skill. Not that I'm a dancer by any means. I know a dance routine. I'm not a dancer. There's a massive difference. But yeah, I just kind of, Strictly was the job that changed my whole life. And as a result of that show, I've got my little girl and my fiance.
It's got to be your favourite for that reason,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Definitely.
Tell us all about how you're like getting together with Gorka, because we had Oti Mabusi on ages ago now.
She's
a busy bear. Isn't she class? She's a busy bear. I'm glad I got her in when we did. But I sort of brought up the Strictly curse with her and she was dead defensive. She was like, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. And I was like,
no,
I fucking definitely think it's a thing, Woody. Like, I'm sorry. I know I've never done it. I've never been in this situation, but you can proper see, like, you know, all these like sweaty bodies and sexy routines and your swimsuit parts getting smushed together. Like, I honestly think like it takes a stronger person than me, you know, to not think, God.
You'd be good on Strictly. It'd be a good show for you to do.
Honestly, mate, like, not only can I not dance to save me life, like, I literally have zero rhythm. I'd be like a fridge.
That was like
arms.
Me, though. I was like that.
You've got a bit of showbiz quality, you though, lass. You definitely
not musical theatre and stuff like that I'd never done. But with Strictly, that's the joy of it, is that you learn something each week. It's a little, each week you feel so proud of yourself, even if it's just a little tiny step that you've picked up.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't see it as a curse because the, like,
well, you were both single, weren't you?
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't dance together either.
That's where you kind of buck the trend, don't you?
But from people who are watching the show, I can see why they think that. Like, when you see the pros dancing together, they're so intense, and it's like it's a performance.
It's electric, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's kind of like if you're an actor and you had to do a kissing scene with someone. You do the scene and you're so intimate and close. And when the director's out to court, you go, oh, right, should we go and get lunch, mate? Right, let's go. And you both go your separate ways. And so it's about being in that zone in the minute. And obviously for the performance, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was awkward because I was dancing with Ali Ash and we had to do a rumba. Uh-huh. And obviously Ali Ash's wife, Jeanette, who was lovely, she's an absolute joy. She was saying to me, you need to look like you want him in that way. She said, you've got, it's a rumba, you have to do it. You know, it's the quarterfinals, you've got to be intense, you've got to be passionate. And I was like, oh my, and I wasn't on the day.
Coming from someone's wife, that's a mad conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And she was like, Gemma, you're dancing. It's a dance routine. That's what you do. And as soon as the routine's over, you know, you're back to normal again. So I know how it looks from people, but we kind of just, I used to see him only on a Saturday in the studio because he rehearsed in London and we rehearsed in Manchester.
Right.
So I didn't really get to see him in the week at all. It was a Saturday and a Sunday. And I think it was on like week three or four. He just said to me, he said, are you dashing back up to Manchester on Sunday? I said, yeah. He said, well, do you want to get some breakfast before you go? He said, I'll meet you. He said, there's a little place near Euston. I'll take you for some breakfast. So I was like, okay.
He's so cute. That's really sweet, isn't it?
Bless him. And we went for brekkie and it went from there, really. And then it was kind of when we were on tour in the January, we were together all day, every day for 3 weeks.
I bet you that was nice. Like a new little romance. Was it still secret then, Jem?
Not on the tour. No, it was kind of because there was not as much press around the tour. No one's really bothered from the media world. It's obviously the tour's for the Strictly fans who want to see the show. And of course, all the cast knew because we were staying in the same hotels. So we
doing
used to
some
just
corridor
book a room.
Creeping in that.
Yeah, we used to just book the same room. But it was just nice. But we were adamant that obviously you'll know if you do a show like with any channel, you're very well looked after, unless it's SAS, clearly. But to the stage where you get your cars provided to and from the studio, you get. Every morning you get your schedule, your call time, everything's done for you. It was easy. Yeah. So we said, like, this isn't real life at all. This is a bubble that we're very privileged to be in. Once this ends and we're like, you've got to fend for yourself. You live in London, I live in Manchester.
Did the logistics worry you?
Yeah, it was just kind of, I mean, the distance of where we lived didn't worry me. I've done long distance before, but I just thought, what are we like away from all these people and on our own?
So out of the bubble.
Yeah. So we booked a holiday to Tenerife, just the two of us. And obviously the weather's lovely, but they always say, isn't it, going on holiday with someone is a good
bit
test.
Of a test. Yeah, everyone always is like, oh God, like everybody has a great time on holiday. You always love each other. That's not a good test. But I disagree, mate.
No, it's
like
good,
I feel like, yeah, if you can live under each other's feet like that 24 hours a day, like I think it's a good test of whether you're compatible or not.
Well, we went and we loved it. But it was only when we got back, it was the same situation that you had. There was pictures of me not looking my best.
Fucking hate that, mate. It's a guaranteed way to bring you down at your holiday
and
buzz.
We went to the photographer and we just were very polite and just asked how he knew where we were going because we booked it literally 2 days before.
Yeah.
And he said it was someone at the airline. He said, we have staff He said, across every airline, we have people who work there.
No.
He said, so they can tell us what names are booking in, what airport you're coming into, and yeah. we'll have a guy that end to tell you from the airport to your hotel.
This is honestly not okay, mate. Like, yeah. do you know what? Right, so get on this. So obviously, you know, we've just got engaged, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I did not expect this at all. Like, I knew we were going in that direction. I knew I wanted to marry him, but I didn't expect it to him to ask me then.
Yeah.
The reason being, like, I think Dubai is a bit of a bait place. I think people are always celeb spotting. I think everybody's a bit like, you know, got their phones out, taking their selfies. That's what I thought. But yeah. I was so excited by the day. I didn't even think about it. Anyway, we didn't tell anyone. We had 5 nights, like, just living, telling my mates as and when, telling my family's FaceTiming. Being in a bubble. And then my PR rang and he was like, the son have got the story, so you're going to have to. And I was like, how have they got it? Someone videoed her. Someone videoed Erkan asking me to marry him and they sold it to the son.
Oh, that's awful.
So, like, listen, lass, when I see it, I fucking get it. Like, we were so in this bubble, Gem, you know?
What a shame for him.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, like, in the end, like, the son were dead canny about it. They were like, you release your pictures. We've bought this video. We won't let anyone else have it. Like, they proper played ball in our defence. Like, yeah. I'm not mad at them. They're doing a job. I'm mad at the person, you know?
Yeah, for even contemplating that. They've obviously thought, oh, and I bet the reality is they've probably got 200 quid.
Mate, if that, it's fucking me third one.
Oh, is it your third? This is my third. Third time lucky for me as well.
That's it, Petal. This is it, where you have to But that's the thing.
People say, oh, you've been engaged 3 times. I can't help it if guys want to marry me.
Listen, I just can't help all of this.
No,
you know?
Exactly. If they want to marry us, it's on them, isn't it?
Just, he has us just walking about our daily life, giving birth to charisma. Men are just attracted. What can we say?
Oh, I didn't know it was your third as well.
Yeah. Oh, but Gawk has the one, isn't he, lass?
Yeah, he's lovely. And I think, without sounding awful, we don't see each other all day, every day. And it's been like that from the start.
Yeah.
We come back from Tenerife. He lived in London. I lived in Manchester. And I think the longest we've done apart is like 16 weeks. That was during the Strictly lockdown stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But we used to have...
hard?
Yeah, well, it went quick because I had Mia.
I was going to say, did you have Mia?
You know, a little one to look after, but he really struggled. He's lucky in that he was dancing with Maisie that year and she's lovely. And they got on like a house on fire. She's so, so nice. She was actually at his gig with us on Saturday.
Mm.
And she's fab. So I think...
She's incredible, isn't she? Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gem, just when you said that there, like, do you think it plays a huge part in how well you do as a couple on Strictly if you get on together?
Yeah, definitely, because you're together all day, every day. So you want, every year I always say to him, oh, I hope you get someone like Katie Piper. He loves Katie Piper.
Yeah.
He always says, oh, she's been brilliant. And, you know, because you get some partnerings where... Because obviously I'm friends with all the Strictly cast now and they've said, oh, sometimes it's tarnished because, not that they don't like a partner, but sometimes you just don't get on with people.
You can't have great chemistry with everyone.
No, there's people who you find you click with and there's people who find, you know, they get on your tits or vice versa or whatever. And when your job is to be with that person all day, teaching them to dance, you know, you need to have some kind of...
connection.
Yeah, and just the right level of respect for each other, really.
I completely get that. That would be my, like, I would be really worried that I'd do it and the person wouldn't like us or they wouldn't like me. It's a long time to spend with someone when you don't get on.
I know.
Yeah, I'd also just be really embarrassed that I'd be crap, like the Ed Balls, like the the comedy act. I definitely think that's who I'd... Yeah. Oh, no, that would be me. I can't even talk about it. It's making me sweat behind the knees. I'm getting really nervous. Just at the thought. So you guys are engaged, like, not to rush your timeline because being engaged is beautiful, but what's the plans, Gem? Are you getting married soon? Are you chilling? Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I don't think we'll do it soon. We wanted to go abroad and do it so his family can come. They don't speak English, so we thought the last
Where's Gorka from?
He's from Spain, Bilbao.
Ooh,
in
nice.
Spain. But as I said, the last thing, you don't want to be at a wedding and not be able to order a drink because they're boring for guests, aren't they, weddings? Unless you're involved in it, you're bored. So we said at least if our lot go over there, you know, the Spanish waiters can speak English, his family can communicate. But it's just when, because of all the COVID, we've said we'd prefer to try for another baby than have a, you know, a big fancy wedding with finances and stuff.
Oh,
you know, there's people I know they'll spend 40, 50 grand on a wedding and you think, oh my God.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Honestly, my we've got a wedding planner and she does like a lot of football lessons and stuff. And I remember showing her like one of the pictures of something she'd done and I gave our budget and that, you know, and then I showed her this picture and I was like, if we could do something like this, it would be amazing, mate. And she was like, the budget you gave me wouldn't cover the fucking flowers. And I was like,
oh no.
God, but yeah, I'm not on 200 grand a week, so you know, I thought, right, fuck
no,
that.
No, exactly. It's obviously, so what we've said, like, we've twice thought about going to the registry office and just doing it and then having a big party.
That would be nice, you know. Yeah. I think that is really lovely. Did you ever see Billy and Greg Shepherd? They got, obviously, they had a big wedding in the Maldives, but they got married in, like, officially in, like, a London registry, and it was the pictures, Jim, are absolutely stunning. So classic. I feel like you have definitely got that in your locker, man.
Yeah, we have said we'd probably prefer to do that. My cousin and his wife just went on holiday, come back and said, we've got married. And they had pictures of him. She had a dress on, he had his suit, they looked lovely. Then they had a big party and they wore the same outfits. It was fab.
Oh, honestly, there's so much to be said for just like doing it exactly the way you want. Like, I think lockdown has showed a lot of people that like, life is short and it's precious and it should be lived the way you want. So if it's like big fancy ceremony, put balls to the wall. If you want to give like a footballer a run for their money, do it. But if you want to do like a registry office where you're nearest and dearest, I think that's super special too.
Yeah, defo.
But the new baby's exciting. What the hell?
Yeah, well, we've said we always want, well, I always wanted two. I'm one of two. My mum's one of two. Gorka's one of two. So we did say we'd always love to have, if we're lucky enough, two children. You know, I understand I'm obviously 38 this year, but I whenever we talk about it, I say yeah we will, but not yet though. I have a bit of a panic. I'll go wait till Mia's a little bit older.
How old is she now?
She's 3 in July.
So there's 3.5-4 years between me and my sister. And
yeah,
like,
that's what we said. It's a nice...
Not to like push you in any sort of good direction, but me and my sister are best mates.
Yeah,
it's quite nice.
Well, there's 7 between me and our kid, but my mum had Nina a lot younger than I had Mia. Yeah. And she just said, I'll be honest, I wanted to wait till Nina could help. She said, so I had like a little
good
helper.
Good idea, mum. Yeah. Good idea. Aww. Now, whenever it happens, Lass, it'll be absolutely beautiful. Like, I get you on the age thing. I've literally, once I finish this, I'm heading to go and have a little fertility MOT.
Oh, nice.
I know. I just want to catch up, find out where I'm at, you know, like potentially.
It's good to do.
Yeah, starting with a bit of an egg freezing process, even though I'm dead happy with Erkan. Like, we've not been together that long. And
no, you want to enjoy your time as well.
Yeah, totally, mate. Like, there's places we want to go. There's still things I want to do. And, like, he's only 28, so I don't want to rush his sort of timeline for the sake of my aging uterus.
It is surprising, though, how you fit him into your routine, because we were together about 2 years. And I remember thinking the same as you. I was like, oh, shit, we've not done that much together.
Yeah.
But I always think there's always a reason not to try and have a baby.
Aye. And that's
but
what
once
everyone
you have
says.
Them, you think, oh, what did I do without you?
Yeah.
You just kind of, it's crazy how they just kind of fit in.
The only thing I can kind of compare it to, mate, because obviously I've got no point of reference, but it's Milo, it's me dog.
Yeah.
And like, it does add a different dynamic to your life. Like, we can't be as footloose and fancy free. Like, if we want a holiday, I have to think, well, is my mum away then? Because she obviously comes to
life.
You know what?
Yeah.
So it adds that extra, I suppose, level of necessary organisation. But sometimes when I'm lying there at night and cuddling Milo, I think, I do not know what I did without you, darling.
Yeah, it's true. They change your life, don't they, dog?
Yeah.
And kids.
I mean, I absolutely. He did just before you got on go running past us with one of me brand new lubes. And I was just like, fucking come back here. I thought I could have done without him in that moment. But the rest of the time, angel. mate, you have a brand new book out and I can't let you go before you tell what all about it, because I basically just read the press release, right, Gem? And I haven't even got a kid, but I really want the book. It's fucking class.
Oh, it's great. Do you know what? We wanted to do one, a follow-up from my first one, but obviously it says it's aimed at new mums. It's aimed at any mums, whether your kid's newborn, 2, 3, 4. It's just
24.
Kind of,
it just looks like a really great book. And I'm so proud of you for it.
Oh, thanks, Vic. It's kind of, I wanted to do something whereby when I was pregnant, the first question I was always asked in interviews is, when are you going to snap back and what's your time frame?
So toxic. That narrative is fucking toxic.
Yeah, and it just really stuck with me. And I thought, and my body's not going anywhere. It's just changing shape to house a human.
Yeah.
So I said to my agent, there's nothing that I've read that is just real for me, whereby I want to talk about the fact that I didn't have a pregnancy glow at all. I was just fucking sweating. It wasn't a glow. I was sweating daily, like I am now in the seat. And it's like my boobs, everyone said, oh, your boobs, they look amazing when they're pregnant. And yeah, they do in a bra. Yeah. But when I took my bra off, they were like golf balls in socks. You know, it's kind of, so I just wanted to write something from my honest opinion.
Yeah.
And we've got obviously professionals in there who are professional mummy MOTs when it comes to your pelvic floor. And it's just like loads of different recipes and a training plan to getting back to you again, not losing weight, not snapping back, just feeling your best again, even by just having a bath and a facial at home, just doing it yourself. It doesn't have to be anything luxurious and glam.
Yeah.
It's just little small things that I used to take for granted before I had Mia. You know,
now you've realised how grateful you are to have, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's so hard. Like, I think there's such immense pressure put on women, like, through every stage of our life, you know, to just have it figured out, to look great, to do it all, to be this superhero. And actually, like, the older I get and the more of these stages I tick off, the more I realise, like, actually none of us have it figured out. And, like, there is no sort of snap back. There is no moment where everything falls into place. Like, these things are created by media, probably by men, to make us feel inadequate. And I think the more books that get made like yours, like, the better, because it's so honest and it makes women feel better about themselves and kind of lets them feel they're not alone, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I always say to women, like to mums, when I get a lot of mums messaging me saying they've spilt the baby's milk or they took them to toddlers without a hat and forgot, which I've done loads of times, or this has happened. And I've said, yeah, but you're little and still think you're the best mum in the world. I never once looked at my mum as a toddler and thought, oh, you spilt my drink before, or you didn't put my hat on. You just want your mum and dad. Yeah, you'd never think that, would you? You're little and always thinks you're the best person. And I know there was times when I was trying to feed Mia, and because she was so little, I was struggling to feed her.
Yeah.
And I got to about 11 weeks of breastfeeding and I remember thinking, I'm going to stop. And there was a lot of pressure on me. Well, breast is best. If you can continue, you can. And I remember saying to someone, I'm exhausted. My boobs are wrecking me. I'm not happy doing this. I'm really struggling. And my mum just said, Gemma, a fed baby is a happy baby. She said, you were bottle fed. She said, you weren't breastfed. You turned okay-ish. Your sister turned okay-ish. none of yous were breastfed. And she said back in her day, they'd come to the end of the bed and say, breast a bottle. You'd say bottle. They'd go, right, and give it you. Whereas now it's
Where did this all come from then?
I don't know. I mean, some women physically can't breastfeed. They don't produce milk. So then they're made to feel like the first thing that's expected of them in motherhood, they're failing at. And it's not a case of that. There's lots of different ways to feed your baby, and you do whatever is best and, you know, easiest and convenient for your baby and yourself.
Like, honestly, like, I haven't got children. And I do hope one day I'm blessed with that journey, you know. But all my mates who've got kids, like, some of them come on nights out, like, we'll come on a weekend away and that, and she'll get back in. And she just sits, we're getting our makeup done, like, expressing with her pumps on and that. And, like,
do what you got to do.
Yeah, she's breastfeeding, she's fine. And then the other mates are like, yeah, I couldn't get away with the breastfeeding. And like, she's really honest. And she's like, it was natural for me. But if it wasn't, you best believe I'd be doing bottle. And I love these, like, wicked, strong women just, like, having this open conversation about what worked for them. Because at the end of the day, Gemma, you're totally right. All that your baby needs is to be healthy, happy, and fed. And it doesn't fucking care whether it's breast, whether it's bottle,
no,
whether it's McDonald's chips off the floor.
No, like, exactly. That's what it goes to. You start on breast or you start on bottle, you all end up with a Mackey's in the back of your car. I mean, I was one of the mums. I remember saying, I'm going to try and not give her chocolate. And then as soon as she could eat, like, chew proper food, I remember driving one time, she was screaming. I was like, I did an emergency stop for some chocolate buttons. I was like, fucking have them all, just take them. Yeah, you do whatever
you can. Balls
deep.
Yeah. Oh, God, because it's tough, lass. And I just think, like, whatever works for you and whatever makes you, like, have a healthy, happy baby as well, it's the right thing, isn't it?
Definitely.
So the book is going, it's out now, and it's full of, like, amazing recipes, amazing workouts, and just loads of, like, your top tips and things you learned.
I experienced, my kind of story, finding out I was pregnant, how I got through it all. And there's, like, little, there's a bit I love, top 10 commandments in there, just to kind of read out to yourself when you're feeling a bit shitty and not good enough for anything. It's the difference it makes writing something down and reading it to yourself.
I love that.
It does make a difference.
Sounds a bit like the new mum's Bible. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, definitely.
Great, man. Well, I'm so excited for you, Gem. I hope it's an absolute roaring success. It's all you deserve.
Thank you, Vic. Before
I let you go, you're Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. We always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a little pearl of wisdom, a nugget. Just so they don't feel like they've been listening to me witter on for an hour about fucking out. And it sounds as though, like, through your life, whether you're, like, posing in lads mags, navigating the world of social media, smashing the soap star status, you have dealt with anything life has thrown at you. Motherhood, relationships in the public eye, anything. So I want to know what your secret is to dealing with anything life throws at you.
For me, it's learning not to worry about stuff you can't change.
That's it.
I think that there's a lot of times we can't control a situation. And my dad always used to say to me, worrying's like a rocking horse. It's something to do, but it'll get you nowhere.
I see that. And it's like a rocking chair. I see it all the time.
And he says you can either sit on your rocking chair worrying, getting nowhere, or you can put it out your head because you can't change it and work with what you can change. So it's about, don't sweat the small stuff. Like, me now as a 37-year-old would never worry about being pictured having a fun night out with the girls. But for a good period of my 20s, it destroyed my nights out of fear of what other people thought of me, when most of them were probably looking at that newspaper hungover themselves anyway.
Yeah. It comes wisdom, like, insight, everything. It comes with age, you know?
Definitely,
do feel like I was so terrified about being 30, Gem, you know? And then actually, like, the further I get into my 30s, like, the more I love them. Like,
oh, it's the best.
Isn't it? Like, 20s, I was racked with, like, insecurity, self-doubt, hated myself, like, spent so long not liking what I saw in the mirror. And now, like, I'm so content and accepting of myself and my flaws and things. It's really liberating. Yeah.
It's brilliant. You look at yourself and think, I'm a businesswoman. I'm smashing it. I've got a fit fiance. I've got so many opportunities. I've got a beautiful family and an amazing dog. Like, why let a bastard on Instagram bring you down?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Fuck them, man.
Yeah.
Fuck them. That's it. So all in all, don't worry about the things you can't control. Focus on the things you can and live your best life.
Absolutely.
Aw, Gemma Atkinson, I really love you.
Oh, thank you, Vicky. I love you too. It's been absolutely lovely chatting to you.
Thank you so much for taking your time out your day, and I will let you go back to your busy life now, I promise.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, guys, that was the lovely Gemma Atkinson there. Her brand new book, The Ultimate Body Plan for New Mums, is out today. It's available most places you get your books, your WH Smiths, Amazon, Waterstones, actually available on Asda as well. It's a proper lovely cover, like a turquoisey blue with, like, a purple trim. She's on the front looking gorgeous with baby Mia. So if you are a new mum, if you are looking to get a sense of yourself back, honestly, I'm not even a mum and I really want it. You know where to get it. That's it from me and this week's episode of Vicky Patterson The Secret 2. I hope you're loving the series. I feel like we're back with a bang and I'm absolutely loving it with a spring in me step. So please tell all of your mates about it. Let your friends know if you think they'll enjoy it and leave a review. Do all of the podcasty things. And don't forget, above all else, to have a really great week. Take care, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.